Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful here with a name you know. You've seen her on AEW dozens and dozens of times. Now you're seeing her in NWA and especially on Always Ready June 11th. You can check it out on Fight. We got Kylan King. Kylan, how you doing?
Good. How are you? So glad to finally get to do this with you.
Yeah, I mentioned off the air, like, I've wanted to interview you for a long time. I think you're a fascinating performer. You're very... a unique performer, and not just that, the more your career goes on, the more unique you get. You're branching out and doing a lot of different things, and NWA is one of those things. How are you feeling doing work for the NWA so far?
Oh, it's been awesome. It literally was just like, I got an email. I was like, hell yeah, let's add to the resume. Let's do this. It's a company with a lot of history to it. I said it would be an honor to get to to regulate my name with them. So I showed up and they just, you know, it's a phenomenal place to work at. They really love their wrestlers and they really love to tell stories and put on a good show for their fans. And, you know, it was just really cool. And now I get to find myself in this position. So that's even cooler. So.
Froze up a little bit.
Oh no. Are we still frozen?
Yeah, I got your audio back, so we're good.
Okay.
We're good. So as we look at this, I mean, you are wrestling everywhere. You're all over the independent circuit, but you've worked these NWA spots as well, including a match with Chelsea Green and Genocide, which I thought was very cool. Are you signed to NWA, or are you still technically a free agent and able to work elsewhere?
I am still a free agent, part of me is kind of like, there's always that anxiety of like, you know, oh, does a company want me and stuff like that?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's nice to have those liberties and to just, you know, be able to have and create my own schedule. I feel like this past year, it's been a lot of exploring, you know, because I spent the last 2 years of my career with AEW and I was there consistently doing the job and, you know, learning about myself. And now this past year, I've been able to just go out, whether it's at NWA, on the independents, I've just been able to go out and explore and just have no constrictions, just do what I want. Which, you know, before AEW, I didn't really know what I wanted. I was still figuring out my style and who I was as a wrestler in the ring towards the fans, towards my opponent. So having that liberty and being able to explore, you know, myself as a performer, it's been really, really cool. But I, at the same token, it's also very, very awesome to be at NWA because I get to learn from the minds like Jazz and Medusa, Mickey James. Like, I'm in the locker room with a lot of incredible ladies. Like you said, I had the triple threat with Genocide and Chelsea Green. And Chelsea Green is not somebody that I thought I was going to step in the ring with anytime soon. So when I saw that match on the board, I was like, oh, that's cool. It's been awesome.
So, as you mentioned, you spent the last couple of years with AEW, and typically how people come in on dark, they're losing a bunch of matches, and that's just the way that it is. When they come to you and they say, hey, you're going to win tonight, you're going to win over, not only that, a woman who had been on TNA wrestling in the past, globally exposed, like we knew who Lady Tapa was. How did that feel for you? Yeah, that had to feel like pretty good. Like they had an incredible amount of confidence in you.
Yeah, I'm still to this day not sure how that came about, like who made those decisions and stuff like that. But I know that there was a lot of people, you know, like when I was there, and still wherever I go, I always pride myself. Like, I don't like to put myself over that much because, you know, it's just a matter of grinding and doing the work. But when I was there, especially, like, I was a workhorse. Like, I was always backstage by the board waiting, like, hey, what can I do? You have another thing for me? All right, cool. Like, I wanted to work. I wanted to learn. I wanted to make money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there, like, to just, you know, it was business. I was there to work. You know, and I just, you know, so it was one of those things where I just put my head down and I was doing everything that I had to do to get better and to get more eyes on me. And I think it was Dustin who came up to me because I just had my match with Britt Baker on Dynamite. And, you know, it was really, I was like still on the high from that. I was like, ah, I got to be on Dynamite against Britt. You know, they were building her up. It was a really cool moment. And then he came up to me. He's like, yeah, we got a match for you tonight. You're going to go against Lady Tapa. And immediately my brain's thinking like, okay, you know, they want to see Lady Tapa and all that stuff. And then when he was like, yeah, we're going to put you over, I was like, what? So, and it was really, really cool. And then, you know, I didn't expect it to keep happening, but it did. And then
it happened a lot.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and it was one of those things where I really took it as an honor because they put enhancement talent over before, but not to that extent.
Yeah.
And not only did they start giving me that, but they started involving me with Swole and Velvet, two people that I have a lot of admiration and love for, and, you know, that I knew before AEW. So that was really, really cool. And then, you know, that led to me representing them at Empower for NWA and also being on All Out, you know, in the Women's Battle Royale. So it was just like, there was a lot of things that they allowed me to be a part of that as an unsigned talent, I was just like, that's incredible. I'm doing something correct because they have a lot of trust in me. So unfortunately, my journey with them hasn't really been going anywhere lately, which is totally fine because if you know anything about wrestling, it's a matter of time and place and being the thing that they need at the moment. So I'm just incredibly happy that I got to be there and I got to have those experiences because I don't think I would be the wrestler I am right now or even the performer I am right now if I hadn't been there on that journey, learning with them and having those moments and opportunities.
And you mentioned that that's doesn't seem to be going anywhere right now, but I mean, that has been a pretty noticeable omission, especially from somebody who, I watched Dark and Elevation every single week. And you were not only a regular, like we said, you won like 15 matches. There are people there that haven't been. Yeah. It was like 15 matches. There are people that have been there for 3 years since the beginning that don't have that many wins on TV. Like, was there a definitive point where they said, oh, we're going a different direction, or you did? Like, how did that work? Because I did notice, like, around the new year, it was a little less.
I mean, as far as I know, me and AEW are good. It just got to a point where, you know, no contract had been offered. There have been no talks about it. So I was, you know, and I was starting to get, you know, emails from NWA and stuff like that. And there was a lot of companies on the independents who really wanted to put their titles on me and have me be very regular there and you know, and work storylines. And that was the point that I wanted to switch into. Like, I didn't want to just have matches anymore. I wanted to have storylines. I wanted to have feuds. I wanted to start leaving little marks in my wrestling career where, you know, 10, 20 years from now, people can go back and be like, oh, that feud was so great. You know, they hated each other and they made me believe that. And, you know, so that's the point in my career that I'm at right now. I just having a match to have a match was not something I wanted. So, you know, like I've had many conversations with Billy Gunn, a couple of the people who recruit for Dark. I was like, hey, like, I love you guys, but I got to go off and do my own thing for now. You know, so the door is still open. You know, like I said, I've talked to Billy Gunn. He's like, you know, that door's open. I'll always make sure it's open. But right now I think I'm just on a journey trying to create my own stardom because, you know, like I started with AEW when nobody really knew who I was. I was only about 2-3 years in, like actually debuting on the independents. So while, you know, I was getting a lot of recognition while I was at AEW, I really still was nobody. And so right now it's the point in my career where I've got to make people understand, like, okay, yeah, I was a nobody, but I'm going to become somebody, and then we'll just see where I end up. You know what I mean? So, and
it doesn't seem like they hold that against anybody when they're like, oh, no. I want to go on this different path. I've heard tons of wrestlers tell me that, where they're like, I'm very fortunate that I got to appear on Dark or this or that. But they understand that that's not everybody's path, and that doesn't necessarily work for everybody.
Yeah, because everybody's on their own journey. Everybody has different desires and expectations for what they want to see in their career and what they want to become as a performer and as a wrestler. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a company and that spot isn't there for you at that current time, there's no shame in saying, hey, I need to go somewhere else where I can become that kind of how do I phrase myself, to get yourself to that level. Sometimes you got to go somewhere else to build yourself up to that level. That way, you know, if your journey comes full circle and you go back to that company, they're like, all right, now you're ready for this spot, you know, because sometimes, you know, they have different visions than you have, and there's nothing wrong with that, because wrestling is very subjective. Everybody has a different idea of where things need to go. So, and I think that was part of mine too. It's just like, I felt like I was ready to go to the next level and have storylines, but I was still, you know, I was still nobody. So I had to go out and start showing people, like, hey, if nobody's going to put a camera in front of me, I'm going to put the camera in front of myself, and I'm going to show people that I'm not just a good wrestler, I'm a storyteller too. So that's where I'm at. And I think that's where a lot of people are at too, because sometimes, you know, if the camera doesn't get put on front of them and they have all these ideas going on in their head, they got to go somewhere and yeah, they got to do it. That way they can explore and experiment and see what works and what doesn't.
And not only that, I mean, I mentioned how not only that your look is unique, your work is unique, you have this, like, this aura about you, it's okay to go explore that. And if you ever feel like you want to go back, it seems like they'd be more than happy to bring you back. You had like 40-50 matches with them as well. And we've talked about AEW and NWA. There's a bit of a hybrid of that. You effectively represented AEW last year at Empower with Red Velvet. What was, I mean, that had to feel good too, that they called upon you to do that. And that was very clearly an important thing. And you got to do it with Red Velvet, who you worked with a bunch.
Yeah, she's one of my best friends. So, like, I remember the day we were at tapings. I was in the bathroom getting ready for a match. And Velvet came into the bathroom and she found me. She's like, hey, Christopher Daniels is looking for you. And, like, Christopher Daniels doesn't look for people, at least not for me that often. Like, he would come and find me and, like, give me some critiques about my match the night before. But, like, actually, like, searching for me, like, that had never happened before. So I'm sitting there going, like, oh, no, what did I do? Am I in trouble? Like, I was, like, I remember I just immediately started shaking. I was, like, why does Christopher Daniels need to see me? So I went out into the hallway. He was there. And then, like, Velvet was about to go run off. And he's, like, no, 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 I need you, too. And she was, like, oh, okay. So we both stopped and we talked to him. And then that's when he told us, like, hey, we'd like you guys to go represent us at the Empower pay-per-view, the All Women's pay-per-view. And her and I were just like, and I remember he phrased it like, let me know what if you want to do that. And her and I are just like, yes, we want to do that. Like, we don't need to give you time to think about it. Like, yes, we want to do this. So it was really cool. And I always tell people, like, I always appreciate the fact that it was her that I got to do that with, because, like I alluded to earlier, her and I knew each other before AEW, and we had, it was one of those friendships where the moment we met each other, we kind of knew, like, we get each other, we like each other. So the fact that we got to end up in AEW together, and then we got to start tagging together, and then we got to be on our first pay-per-view together as a tag team, I was like, how cool is that? So I feel like I use this expression so much, and I apologize, but it was a full circle moment. Like, I love seeing those kinds of things happen, where it's like something feels special but you don't know why, and then all these things happen and it comes back to fruition, and you're just like, ah, that's why, because we were meant to do big things together. So it was really cool.
And speaking of big things, you got Camille at Always Ready. I know you've wrestled her before. How did you feel like your chemistry was in the ring? Because, like, as we'll get into, there's not a lot of people that can match up with you physically, and she's one of them that can.
the first time we ever stepped in the ring together, it was definitely a new experience. Cause like you just said, I don't step in the ring with big girls that often. I think the only other girl that I've wrestled, that has really my size, actually quite two girls that I wrestled that are really my size was Savannah Evans and
maybe Sawyer, yeah.
Sawyer, yeah. Yeah. Actually, she's bigger than me.
I saw her backstage at GCW and I was like, oh my gosh, like photos didn't do it justice.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like it doesn't happen that often. So it was very, very cool. It is going to be very, very cool.
Yeah.
And I think too, the fact that NWA is presenting the story that we both come from the same stomping grounds. Mm-hmm. We both have the same trainers, the same veteran minds gave us our knowledge in this business. So, the fact that we went off on two very different journeys, two different companies, two different times of exploring and figuring ourselves out. And now, like, when we're in a point in our career where we're really thriving, we get to come back and have this big title match together.
And you mentioned it earlier, like there's not a lot of women right now in wrestling that are 6 feet plus. I remember meeting Jessamyn Duke at an MMA fight like 10 years ago here in Kentucky. And I was like, you should get into wrestling because 6 foot athletic women do not grow on trees, especially in wrestling.
No.
I think it'd be unique. Now we're seeing it a little bit more. Like Allison Kay has been around for a while. There's yourself, there's Sawyer, there's Camille. Yeah. Like there are a few of them. And not only that, it's the athleticism isn't compromised as a result of this at all. Like it's not like you're dealing with somebody who can't do anything. Like you guys are capable of so much. I mean, how did that affect your training compared to everybody else?
I mean, I kind of love that you set that up for me, because that's one of the things that I really love about big women in this day and age in wrestling, is I feel like we don't settle for just being big women. Because mm-hmm. there was a period of time where you would go back and you would watch wrestling, and if a girl was big, like she didn't do a lot.
You got the claw hold and the chop to the head, like one of those.
Yeah, she kind of just stood there and she took a lot of crap. And then one, I come from a background where I played, and I have five brothers. So growing up, it was a very competitive atmosphere. Any sport that I could get my hands on, I played it. And then, of course, when I got into my more adult years, I got into MMA, a style called Kwamukan Karate. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of judo and jiu-jitsu, and I competed in a lot of kumite. So like I did a lot of sparring and stuff like that. So when I got into wrestling, I didn't just want to be a big girl. I wanted to be very much a hybrid wrestler. And I love the fact that I'm not the only big girl these days that feels that way, because now when we do have these big girl matches, there's so much more to bring to it. Because not only do you get these moments of like, oh my gosh, these girls are big and they're intimidating. But once we get going, you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. That's really cool. And I love having those kind of moments. I'm sorry, I forgot the other half of the question. I got caught up in the first part of what I was saying. But
no, I was asking like how that affected your training, but you mentioned your MMA background. Like I can tell you for me personally, if I wouldn't have trained MMA before I did pro wrestling, the learning curve would have been a lot higher. Like being able to learn how to break fall, knowing how and when to pin somebody, that was affected. But like, how much did that help you when you got into pro wrestling training, even just having that base?
Yeah. Understanding how to like roll and how to throw your body down, that helped me tremendously, especially with judo, because judo, you know, you got to learn how to slap out. You know, if somebody does some kind of crazy throw, you got to learn how to tuck and roll and do all these kinds of things. But also, I was the crazy person, because I knew for a really long time I wanted to be a professional wrestler. It was just one of those, you know, if you go back and watch any of my previous interviews, it's one of those things where I kind of stayed away from it just for some personal reasons, for just certain people in my life who weren't crazy about it. And I had to go through like this phase of where it's like, okay, I did the thing where I was respecting your wishes, but now it's time for me to live for me. Mm-hmm. And this is what I really want. So when I finally came to the conclusion, I'm like, hey, this isn't a daydream anymore. We're actually going to do this. I was still in my martial arts training at the time. So I was the crazy person who would go on YouTube, look up professional wrestling drills.
Yeah.
And then I would go to my dojo and as best as I could, I would replicate what I saw. So even before I got into a Team 3D Academy with Bubba and Devon and Billy, like I was teaching myself how to do slap out drills. And how to do the blow up, like the roll, the the rolling drills to blow yourself up. Like I was doing all that stuff. And so I remember when I first got into a wrestling ring and they were starting to teach me how to roll. One of my instructors looked at me and he's like, "You already know how to do some of this stuff, don't you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was just like, "Did you train somewhere else?" I was like, "Technically, no." And then I explained it to him and he was just like, "Oh, good for you. Okay, cool."
I've talked to so many people that would just watch Tough Enough and break down like any of the in-ring training they would do there. Like,
oh, yeah.
When they would learn how to run the ropes and stuff. And there are a couple people that I know that made it very far before they ever went to school because they learned how to run ropes and bump based on that. I mentioned one of the girls that's, you said, even bigger than you, Sawyer. I mean, what? Yes. That's very cool. Not only that, have you guys been able to be in the ring against each other, but like seeing you guys team recently was very cool because that isn't something that I've seen, period, like ever. Like that is such a fantastic, imposing team, but it's not like that imposing where it's just like strict intimidation. You all have this outstanding charisma about you where you look like you're enjoying brutally beating the shit out of people. And I really like that. It's like you all are one-upping each other and like, no, let me do it even better. I loved it.
She comes from Team 3D as well. Like her and I are from the same school as well. And when we were in training together, people would tell us all the time, "You guys need a tag.
Yeah.
You guys need a tag." And like we would even like sometimes in class we would even cut promos together as a tag team. Like we would do all this stuff. And then when we both started doing the independents, we always got booked against each other in singles matches. Yeah. We would never get booked as a tag team. And every single time we get booked against each other, we would go to the show, we would have our match, and then all the people backstage would be like, "You guys should tag." And we're like, "Yeah, you think? Somebody book it." Like So fast forward like 4+ years later, and then Billy Starks, a good friend of ours, she was running her own show for her birthday, and she hit us up and she's like, "Hey, I want to book you guys as a tag team. Is that cool?" And I immediately texted Sawyer and I was like, "Thank goodness, so cool. Finally somebody is doing it." And so like back a while ago when we kept talking about it, we had a couple ideas that we threw around like for names and stuff like that, but then because it never happened, we kind of just let it go. And then once we got the text from Billy, Sawyer immediately texted me and was like, "Hey, these are the names that I remember. Which one did you like the most?" And the Overreactors one was the best because her and I are both like very adamant feminists. You know, definitely a big spokes for equality and just being treated equally and all that stuff. So we were like, "Hey, we are two really big girls who are tagging together, who obviously, like, if you spend any time with us, you know, that's our voice. That's what we will preach about. Not only that, but we like us, not so much now, but in our earlier careers, we would get booked in intergender matches all the time." Mm-hmm. And the very first time we got booked as a tag team, we got booked in an intergender tag match. Yeah. So I was just like, we have to be the Overreactors, and we have to make sure that like when they introduce us, they really point out, like they say, you know, like ovaries. And then like we do the whole like thing. I was like, it's perfect because now we're going to come out with this attitude like, yeah, we're females and we're here and we have something to prove. So if you look at us, like the way we look at each other when we do our entrance, it's just like,
yes,
yeah, we're too, and we're about to screw these people up. Like we're about to mess them up. It's a very genuine energy because that's truly what we love to do. We love being the big girls in the room that people are like, "Oh, it doesn't matter whether they wrestle a girl or they're a dude, somebody's getting beat up tonight." So it's just a great natural vibe.
Are you all looking to team more? Because I think there's definitely the airport appeal thing with you, where if you're walking through an airport, somebody might be like, "I don't know what they do, but I know they do something important." Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially with you two side by side.
Oh my gosh, we would go into like when we were still in training and, you know, when we'd be leaving school and going to the grocery store or something, every single time we went into a store, somebody would stop and be like, "Y'all big," like literally those words. And her reaction would always be, yeah, we are, aren't we? Huh? Kind of cool, huh? And she would just walk
away. Never noticed that at all.
And I would just laugh because she just loves to be sarcastic like that. Because, you know, when you are a big girl, especially like you said, side by side in a public place, people are like,
"Yeah,
what?" So it just, the fact that we would always get comments like that, it just got to a point where it's like, "Yeah, holy crap, we are kind of big, huh?
You mentioned having five brothers. Where do you rank on the height chart among these siblings, and how tall is your tallest brother?
Oh my gosh. I think, believe it or not, I'm the shortest. Actually, no, that's not true. My mom is the shortest. Like, if you were including parents, my mom is the shortest. Yeah. She's like 5'9". Sibling-wise, I'm the shortest. I think my tallest brother is 6'4", 6'5".
I mean, that's a pretty close range to keep six siblings in between, like, what, 6 feet, one, and 6'4"?
Some of us are around the same height. I know two of my brothers, like, we're all, like, dead on, like, 6 foot. I want to say my tallest brother is probably my brother Ian. I feel like he's the tallest one, either him or my brother Scott. But, yeah, I want to say it's around that range, 6'4", 6'5".
You know what I like to do? I like to confuse people about my height, because I always say that I'm really tall online, and they meet me and they'll size me up and they either think that I'm like 5'5 or 6'4 in person. So when they meet me and I'm just a normal height, they're very thrown off. But then I'll like get Layla Hirsch to take a picture of her standing on a chair next to me or something. Like it's just fun to mess with people. Because I can always see them like doing the, how tall are you really? Like, what shoes are you wearing type of thing?
Fun story. When I was at AEW more consistently, I had these, like, if I didn't have a match or anything that night, I was just chilling. I would put on my nice outfit, and I'm more of a pants girl. So I would always wear some kind of like leather pants or jeans or whatever. And I would always tie it in with my high heel boots. And now my high heel boots, like my go-to ones are like, they're thick and they're like this. So I'm already way taller than Layla, right? So whenever I didn't have anything going on, I wanted to look nice, I would put those boots on. And every single time I would walk backstage with those boots on, she would just stop, look at me and be like, screw you. And just walk away. She's like, take those off. Go take those off. You don't need to be wearing those. That's unnecessary. It's too much. And I was just like, I was just laughing. And then she would finish it with like, why didn't you put those on? Because like, I can. Sometimes I would just put them on just to make her mad, because it was just her reaction.
Oh, she's wonderful too. She's wonderful.
She's a fan.
Hope she heals up soon.
My gosh, yeah.
A reminder, guys, NWA Always Ready, June 11th. As we wrap up, I would love to know, like, anything more about your experience in training at Team 3D. Like, I don't know how much time that you spent, like, specifically with a Bubba Ray or a D-Von together individually, but maybe some of the background in training there.
Yeah, so... When I moved to Florida, I wasn't 100% sure where I was going to go. My instinct was just to move to Florida. And then I was very lucky to have met somebody at my gym who trained at Team 3D. And so when I got there, right away, you can just tell, like, this is legit. This is the place I need to go, because they do not joke around with their training. It was, you would show up, you would stretch and do core for like 20 minutes. Then you would spend the next hour and a half doing drills. And it was like this little room in the back of an old school gym that had no AC, just one or two big fans to keep the ring dry and stuff like that. So you would do drills, and these drills were like in and out of the ring, lifting weights, doing more stuff, like barely breathe kind of thing. And then once all that was done, then you would get in the ring and you would work on wrestling. And their regimen was very like broken down and very strict, because they wanted to make sure that anybody who left their school and was representing not only the school's name, but their names, knew what they were doing.
Yes.
That they would represent them well. I was there for almost two and a half years mm-hmm. before I even had, actually, no, I'm sorry. I was there for a year and a half or so before I ever had my first match. And then even after I had my first match, I was there for like another half a year, year and a half training, because they're very adamant, and they keep up with like any of their students who they know are taking it seriously. They keep up with them. They keep in check. They're like, hey, how you doing? Like I remember one time I was working at Cracker Barrel after I started finally doing independence, and Ring of Honor was in Orlando, and Ring of Honor was in town for a pay-per-view. and Bubba came into the Cracker Barrel that I worked at. And he saw, like, it was like one of those really intense moments where I was in the middle of walking to one of my tables as he was walking to the stand to get a table.
Yeah.
And I just looked up and we both made eye contact and I went, "Oh crap." And he saw me and then he was like, "Hey, I want one of her tables." So they put him in my section. And it was just one of those things where every single time I came to take his order or check on him, he'd be like, "Hey, how you doing? What have you been up to? Where you've been working at? Like, you know, are you still training? Blah, blah, blah." Like, so, you know, like that's just a silly story, like a random yeah. moment. But even then, like, it was about like, "Hey, I'm checking up on you," kind of thing. So they're very adamant about making sure that the people who are putting the work in and are very serious about it, that they are finding the most success. And like, I've even had them reach out to me, you know, like, "Hey, like, I've seen what you're up to. I'm really proud of you. Like, if you ever need any advice, please hit me up." So like, even when you're not training with them anymore, they really want to make sure that their kids are doing all right. Which I think is really cool that he's going to be there for this pay-per-view now. They just announced that the other day. I was like, again, full circle. It's just like two of his kids are having a really big moment together and he's going to be there not only to commentate, but to witness it. So I'm just like, "Oh, this is really, really cool."
I think he's invaluable to media. Like, I remember one time I was going to do a media call with him. And I was, admittedly, I was a little hesitant because sometimes you get on those and people will be in character and it's a waste of time. But he wasn't. And he was so introspective and nice and detailed. And it's like, oh, shit. You see why even back in ECW, he got so much responsibility there. And they trusted him with so much stuff. And he was just this fountain of knowledge. And then Devon, I've been hearing he's going to be doing a lot of work at the PC, which, of course, why wouldn't he be when he's got the track record that he does with so much talent? Like, it makes an awful lot of sense. So,
yeah,
I'm loving their contributions, even modern day to pro wrestling.
Bubba was one of the first. I mean, there were other people who would like give us lectures about this, but Bubba was one of the first people who ever gave me the lecture about how important social media was. Mm-hmm. In regards to building your career, because there's a lot of people who take that for granted, who are just like, they're more worried about getting the booking as opposed to making the booking matter.
Yeah.
And he was one of the first people that was like, "Hey, you know those little app thingies that you like to get on every day? Yeah, there's a reason for them, especially in pro wrestling." He's like, "Post something every single day, even if it's just a selfie, because guess what? Somebody who saw your thing or somebody who didn't see your post yesterday might see your post today. And then all of a sudden you go from having this many followers, this many followers, or this many people caring about what you're doing, this many people caring about what you're doing." So now it's kind of funny because now I train at Gangrel's school.
Oh, he's wonderful too.
Florida. Yes. So I train with him at the CCW, Coastal Championship Wrestling facility. And, you know, I get to help train some of the kids there sometimes too. And that's a lecture that I have with them all the time is they're like, "You know, like, you know, I'm working really hard. I'm trying to get, you know, booked in other states and get people to pay attention. Like, what do I do?" And I was like, "You post every single day.
Every day.
Single time you get a booking, make it matter. Don't wait for a promoter to tell you to cut a promo. Go cut a promo. If there's a connection somewhere between you and your opponent, make that connection and make people go, 'Oh shoot, this is personal.' Like, you have to do those things in order to make people, because people don't care about the wrestling.
Yeah.
They appreciate the wrestling. When they watch it and they see you take the bumps and they see you do the flips and all that stuff, they appreciate it. But the thing that really gets people, like, think about it. Any pay-per-view that you were really into, what was the moment that made you lean into the TV and go, 'Oh crap.' It wasn't the wrestling. It was what was happening between the wrestling, the storytelling, the somebody coming out and to interfere or somebody switching gears and turning heel. Like, it was those kinds of things that made you go, 'Oh,' you know what I'm saying? So like, that's what I try to tell people is like, use those platforms to make people care because that's the stuff that they pay attention to.
And your platforms,
I wouldn't know that if it wasn't for Bubba.
Your platforms are doing fantastically well. I mean, you've got more of a following on social media than a lot of WWE and NXT people that I see as well. Without that consistent global presence, like that's you building it yourself. And this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And gaining that interest. So I think that's a fantastic point, especially like I'm not an Instagram guy, but I cannot possibly underscore the importance of Instagram enough on that, especially if you're an independent wrestler, because that stuff does very, very well. My explore page is just independent wrestlers that pop up.
Yeah. And Instagram is probably one of the easier ones to use in order to promote yourself, because Twitter, there's so many like different links that get you all the places and you get lost in it. Yeah. Like I always tell people, like my go-to is Instagram because it's very plain and simple. Post a picture, post a story, put a caption to it so they understand the relevancy of it, and then you're done. Twitter, sometimes you got to get a little bit more in detail about things and it can get a little, you know, you can get a little lost in it, but both are still super important. And like, and it goes back to what I said earlier. If somebody doesn't want to put a camera in front of you because they just don't see it at the time, cool, put the camera in front of yourself. There's a lot of, I think a lot of things that people don't, or a lot of things that wrestlers like let slip by, is there's a lot of cinematographers out there pro wrestling these days who just show up. Like I met my buddy Roland at Mission Pro, and he's a fantastic cinematographer. And, you know, he reached out to me one day and was like, hey, I realize that we both live in Florida. I'm looking for more work. I brought him to one of the shows that I'm a champion at and that I work regularly because I knew they would trust me. So I'm like, hey, bring this guy in. He's going to give you footage that's going to make your stuff look like TV quality.
Of course.
Stuff. So now whenever he comes to shows, I always make sure that I film a bunch of different stuff with him. And then that way I can get it from him, edit myself, put music to it, and make it look like a video package that you wouldn't see on TV. And people pay attention, like, if you post a video or a promo or anything like that, people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
But when you post high quality stuff with like legit editing, where it's like, it's not just you talking in front of the camera the whole time, it's you talking, and then all of a sudden it cuts to the moment that you're talking about. Like those kinds of things, technology and social media make it so easy for us to create content like that. And content like that is what's going to make people in the big companies go, oh, they treat their quality of work like this. So therefore we don't have to worry about bringing that out in them. They're already going to do it.
Yeah.
So let's bring this person in because they're going to give us good work.
Oh, Giancarlo got hired by WWE off the stuff that he did for GCW. Like all those amazing spring break videos that I looked at and I'm like, how the hell can Joey Janela afford this? Like what's going on here? And it was like the passion of Giancarlo to the point to where now if MJF does anything, AEW's not doing it. Giancarlo's doing it. So, I mean, like that.
Yeah.
Like that type of stuff is super important. And I see all kinds of talented photographers backstage at GCW and stuff like that. I don't take photos of myself like ever. And I got like so many different photos at spring break. Like, I looked at them and I was like, oh my God, this is better than anything I've ever had. And they were, it was just crawling all over the place. So, I mean, that. The ability to make that content is out there. And I think you're right. Like you have to do it You have to employ it. I think that Twitter is a hell site. I hate it. I hate that that's where my following
it's
is.
Rough.
It's terrible. It's horrible. But I wouldn't be able to do what I do without it. And there's so many wrestlers that wouldn't be able to do what they do without it either. But
yeah,
you're going to be doing what you're doing at NWA Always Ready, June 11th. So if somebody's on the fence about ordering this show as we wrap up, tell me what you would tell them to get them to order this show.
Well, first off, there's a little throw up right now because we got some stuff going on with Matt Cardona. So we have no idea,
yeah.
You know, like people are expecting one thing and now something else is going to be happening. So it's definitely worth tuning in to see where that story is going to go and what's going to happen. But also you got the mother effing King on her second pay-per-view with NWA ever. And not only am I back at NWA, but I'm here for a title shot. And that's a pretty big opportunity for me. I've stated it many times this year that 2022 is going to be the year of Kylan King and that I want to go everywhere and take all the titles, conquer all the territories. And NWA is my next stop. And we have a really cool story between Camille and I. We're like we said earlier, we come from the same stomping grounds. We've learned from the same veterans in this business. And now we get to tell that story of, you know, who's the better opponent that day. And I think that's going to be a really intense, incredible matchup and story that her and I are going to tell. So that's definitely another reason to tune into this. Plus, I don't want to like, there's probably going to be a new women's champion after this.
There you go.
Show, so.
Fought
so
it.
That is witness the King take down the Brick House and win the Brick.
I think there are five title matches in addition to that. I mean, if you're into women's wrestling, there are three women's wrestling matches booked on the show. Aaron Stevens' retirement, his swan song. You've got Ricky and Kerry Morton. If you haven't seen Kerry Morton, I talked to him this past week. He is a ball of charisma. He's going to be very fun to watch emerge. You got Harry Smith and Doug Williams teaming up. I love that team. I'm such a dork for catch wrestling. So seeing them team up is amazing. Lots of stuff on this show. Check it out. NWA Always Ready, June 11th. Kylan King, I've wanted to interview you forever. I hope I get to sooner than later again.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Until next time, guys, we're out. Hey, guys, I hope you all enjoyed this interview, but let me tell you how you can enjoy your online experience even more with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click on all your devices. We'll get that right out of the way. Phone, laptop, desktop, PC, your router, your TV, everything. It's so helpful when you're traveling. You can change your virtual location. Maybe you're abroad. You want to watch all the shows that you're used to. Or maybe you want to watch shows a little bit earlier. Maybe you want to buy pay-per-views at a reduced rate thanks to some services overseas. Maybe you want to check out what's on the menu of those other services overseas. But it's not just that. You get that threat protection, block online trackers, block malware, block annoying pop-up ads with NordVPN.com/Fightful, and you get a great deal. Not only do you get a great deal, up to 70% off, you get a month free and a 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/Fightful, I use it every day. You're going to love it.